This hour, we will hear from two experts who have different takes on the practice of co-sleeping or bed sharing between parents and babies. The issue has been long controversial, with critics saying it's dangerous, proponents saying it can be done safely and is beneficial for babies. And the debate is back in the news as the Milwaukee County Health Department, in response to recent deaths of bed-sharing babies, has initiated a campaign to discourage the practice. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 26th. Our first guest is a proponent of safe bed sharing, and we will welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And I noticed we do have some Facebook fans commenting on this issue as well. You can comment on Facebook, The Joy Cardine Show. James McKenna is director of the Mother Baby Behavioral Sleep Laboratory at the University of Notre Dame and a fellow at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. He authored an opinion piece in support of co-sleeping that appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel last week, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first off, you say co-sleeping is beneficial to babies. You also say, though, there are circumstances where it is unsafe, such as?
Well, of course. When mothers have smoked during their pregnancy, when there are conditions in the bed that really can't be modified or changed to be safe, other children coming in the bed, soft mattresses, a whole array of very specific conditions. And indeed, I only support the positive choice to bed share, which I believe is a choice only parents are able to make if moms are breastfeeding, because our studies have revealed that the relationship between the baby and the mother while breastfeeding and bed sharing is very different than the relationship and the changes in the sort of sensitivities that babies have if they're bottle feeding and bed sharing. So, yes, many conditions would indeed make bed sharing unsafe. And let me just point out that, as would be true for any of my colleagues, one can't publicly recommend bed sharing without knowing the conditions of the family, etc., but one can definitely recommend co-sleeping in the form of separate surface co-sleeping, which actually babies are well protected from.
What is the separate surfaces co-sleeping practice?
Well, that's like putting a bassinet or even a crib sleeping structure next to the bed within arm's reach of the mother. We know that what's been called room sharing, I think, as a device to avoid the term co-sleeping altogether, room sharing is, of course, completely recommended. But what's interesting to recall in this is it's not the room or the inert walls that's protecting the baby. It's who's in it and what's going on between the baby and the parent, such as sounds and touches and a monitoring and vigilance that the parent is able to give. A baby that sleeps close to a committed adult caregiver on a different surface has half the chance of dying of SIDS than a baby who's sleeping in a room in a crib by itself.
Yeah. Why is co-sleeping, especially with a breastfeeding mom, so beneficial?
Well, I guess in part because it's what mothers want to do, and babies are designed biologically to be close, to be touched, to hear its mother's breathing, to respond to her signals and cues. It helps mothers to breastfeed more efficiently. It permits, as you might expect, the baby to settle more easily next to the mother. Mom is able to get more sleep, baby's able to get more sleep, and actually the babies are kept in a safer form of sleep, a stage one or two stage of sleep, as opposed to spending great amounts of time in the deepest stage of sleep, from which it's most difficult to arouse should the baby need to terminate an apnea, which is a breathing pause, etc. The baby's heart rate variability, the baby's body temperature, the hormonal levels of babies have been shown to be on the clinically positive side when babies are sleeping and interacting with the mother in the context within which its body was designed to operate. Don't forget that the human infant is neurologically the least mature primate of all, the most dependent on the caregiver's body for the longest period of time. For real external regulation, this is the microenvironment to which the human infant is designed to most likely thrive and be healthy. And indeed, it's very healthy for mothers as well, because, of course, it stimulates more breastfeeding, and while of course we know that's great for the babies, we know that the more a mother breastfeeds, the greater the chance that she is enhanced protection from breast cancer.
Isn't there a risk, though, that mother might fall asleep after breastfeeding and smother the baby?
There's always a risk of a mother falling asleep and smothering a baby. There's a risk for everything we do with babies, of course, and that's why it's very important for parents to be alerted to what, when it does happen, how they can do it the most safely. And I fear that with this emphasis on declarations, which never work in terms of something as important as humankind's oldest and most successful sleeping arrangement, that what's occurring is that safety information is being deprived of mothers who inevitably will at times bring their babies into bed with them. This is such a powerful emotional system, and it's just so natural for mothers to at times intermittently bring their babies into bed that it's something that they need to be educated to as to when they do bed share as such. They need to be alerted to what is the least dangerous kind of environment. So that's what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. And what is the least dangerous kind of environment?
Well, as I mentioned previously, to be a breastfeeding mother to begin with, to make sure the baby, and this actually occurs anyway, most breastfeeding moms keep the baby at mid-level to their chest and tuck their legs around the baby's feet and orient their bodies toward the babies, as our laboratory studies have shown. So there's a whole body orientation difference, kind of a sensitivity that the baby and the mother develops and acquires by virtue of routine bed sharing. They respond within seconds ordinarily to the arousal of the other. Arousals that are transient in nature sometimes or a little bit larger, and we've documented these both through infrared photography and also by physiological monitoring as mothers and babies sleep together. And then we look at what happens when the moms and babies sleep apart.
Well, what do you make, though, James McKenna, of all of these, over the past decade, many infant fatalities in bed-sharing situations, and many just since the start of the year?
Yes. Well, they're obviously tragic beyond description. What do I make of them? I don't make anything less of them than anybody else makes of them. You have to look very, very carefully at the very specific factors that are overwhelmingly associated with these deaths. That is to say, it isn't so much always how bed sharing, whether or not bed sharing or co-sleeping is occurring, but the very specific way that parents are doing it. Obviously, drugs and alcohol can be part of it. It isn't always, but it can be. Babies sleeping with their mothers or caregivers on couches, always dangerous. On recliners, always dangerous. In unusual sleeping areas where there are cramped surfaces, always dangerous. So often when you hear these horrible tragedies, you need to go beyond and above what the actual outcome is to ask very specifically, did, for example, the parent know what the adverse or dangerous factors were? Did the mother smoke during her pregnancy? Was the baby prone in bed with the mother? These are independent risk factors for SIDS that occur in cribs as well. But oftentimes you don't hear that part of the explanation. So
yeah, the our next guest will say, based on her opinion piece, that the majority of these infant fatalities were not drug or alcohol related.
Well, that may be an unusual group of six babies or whatever, but I can assure you, having to know this data extremely well, that overwhelmingly, these deaths are taking place in non-breastfeeding, urban, impoverished, disenfranchised areas where people are not getting the education. They can't provide a non-chaotic life for their babies. This is not to say that a baby cannot die in a breastfeeding situation, but I can assure you that it's incredibly rare relative to the numbers of babies that are indeed practicing it. And one other little point that is important to make. This is, as I mentioned, a system that is biologically based. And it's one thing to make external declarations as to what parents could or should do and what's idealized. But the point is, that just as this issue is so complex that you can't make recommendations that anybody particularly bed shares, I believe that it's really being very naive and not actually contributing to the safety of babies by not making sure that should parents choose to do it or when they find themselves bed sharing, that they don't know how to make it as safe as they possibly can. The fact is that there are very few babies, it would seem these days, that are not encountering just about every sleep environment. In our studies, both home and laboratory, we see when parents are given free rein, babies are typically relocated into the bed, if not for, you know, half of the night, at least for some of the night. And that's what I'm concerned with these simplistic declarations.
We are talking with James McKenna, director of the Mother-Baby Behavioral Sleep Laboratory at the University of Notre Dame, who says co-sleeping can be done safely and is beneficial for babies and breastfeeding mothers. And we wonder what you think, what questions you have. The Milwaukee Health Department has recently initiated a campaign to discourage parents from sleeping with their infants, saying it is too dangerous. And we welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll get to your reactions after we check the weather forecast. A winter storm warning has been posted for Iron County until noon today. Otherwise, it's going to be a mostly cloudy morning with scattered snow, mostly in the north, then clearing this afternoon. High temperatures in the teens in the north to the low 20s in the south. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows 5 below to 12 above, and tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, with a slight chance of snow near Lake Superior. Highs tomorrow in the teens to low 20s. Currently in Superior, cloudy and 7 degrees. In Eau Claire, cloudy and 14. La Crosse, 18 degrees. Green Bay, 25. In Milwaukee, light snow and 23. In Madison, cloudy and 23. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. It's now 21 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 26th. Coming up tonight, a special program on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's Governor Doyle's final State of the State address. Live from the state capitol, we will bring you coverage, followed by the Republican analysis from State Senator Scott Fitzgerald. Your hosts are Frederica Freiberg from Wisconsin Public Television and Sean Johnson from Wisconsin Public Radio. So Governor Doyle's State of the State address tonight at 7 here on the Ideas Network. Tomorrow morning after 7, we will hear from a Republican and a Democratic state legislator to talk about what Governor Doyle has to say in his State of the State. We hope you will join us for that tonight and tomorrow. Right now, we hope you join in on our discussion on co-sleeping with babies. Is it good or bad for your baby? We are featuring two viewpoints during this hour, talking first with a proponent of safe co-sleeping, James McKenna, director of the Mother-Baby Behavioral Sleep Laboratory at the University of Notre Dame. Coming up after 6:30, after the news, we will hear from a guest from the Milwaukee Health Department, which has recently started a campaign to discourage parents from sleeping with their infants. 1-800-642-1234 is our number if you have a question for our guest or an experience along these lines. Did you co-sleep with your babies? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. James McKenna, a Facebook fan, Sarah writes, a co-sleeper bed is the right way to co-sleep. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this, and it makes me feel there's a real solution to our issues here. It isn't really very important necessarily that the baby be on the same surface with the mom, as I was mentioning, and I think this is terrific, a great way to have a real nice compromise here, and there's these products coming out, one of which is Arms Reach Co-Sleeper that has a proven safety record, and there's pieces of furniture that tie closely into the bed that pull together at the level of the mattress so the baby can scoot back and forth. But I have to be honest, Joy, that what really ends up happening a lot of the times is that baby just loves the contact with its mother, and they actually end up in the bed. And I can't tell you how many people end up buying the co-sleepers, and sometimes the baby is as much in the bed as not. But nonetheless, having that structure there is really terrific and really could be a solution for us to rethink the importance of babies being close to their mothers and or caregivers, whether or not the baby's in the same bed or not. That's very important and a really great compromise to all of this difficulty we're facing.
Another Facebook fan, Barb, writes, as a mom of two sons who didn't sleep through the night until 15 months, co-sleeping saved my sanity.
That's a pretty common response, and that's what we're talking about here. This is human life. This is biology in action. It's not going to be trumped, and it's very naive to think that external authoritative declarations, even if Jim McKenna or whoever wants this or that, it's not really about us or opinions. It's about what happens between mothers and babies in the middle of the night, and we need to be prepared for it, and parents need to be educated.
We go to the phone. Stacy in Escanaba is with us. Hello, Stacy.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
I just want to know, my baby is going to be 4 months, and she's been sleeping in her own crib now. And when you co-sleep, how do you ever teach your child to be able to self-soothe?
You don't need to teach any baby to self-soothe. They all will eventually do it. But you're right in suggesting that babies that from birth co-sleep, they will not learn. All babies know how to self-soothe. That's not a skill that's particularly inherently difficult. It's what babies need and what they choose to do, not something that has to be taught. But you're right. Babies will willingly self-soothe, as you put it, which was never meant to actually be a psychological concept, according to Tom Andrews, who created it. They will all do it, but they'll do it later than will the solitary sleeping baby from birth. So parents, if they do get into co-sleeping and or bed sharing, they need to know that their baby's not going to be independently sleeping through the night at, 8 months or 6 months or 4 months, whatever, but it would be more likely about a year and a half at least.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you,
Stacy. Well, as a proponent of safe bed sharing or co-sleeping, James McKenna, how long does this go on, or should this go on?
Oh, till they're about 18. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
The critical factor, the proximity issues, is really the first two to 6 months or so, where the baby is really physiologically engaged and is extremely responsive to touch and the smells of its mother, etc. There is a real physiological social connection between the baby during those first 6 months of life. But honestly, the proximity issues, they always function positively as long as the nature of the relationship brought to bed to share is healthy. It continues to be healthy, and that which is already good during the day simply continues to be good during the night. There is no absolute deleterious consequence of parents and children sleeping together for whatever amount of time as long as the nature of their relationship is healthy. If it isn't healthy during the day, then that relationship that is pathological during the day obviously remains so during the night. So the fascinating thing in Western cultures is we think there's something odd that happens between 7 and 6 in the morning. The nature of the relationship suddenly changes if you're with your baby. It absolutely doesn't at all. And it can only be affirming to, in a social, psychological sense, that which is already good.
Next we go to Francisco in Milwaukee. Hello, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. I don't know what the debate is in America. The debate is whether you should breastfeed your baby or feed him cow's milk. The debate is whether you should sleep with your baby, cuddle him, or let him sleep alone in a dark room all by himself. I don't know what you people are up to. I believe that maybe those people that have those babies suffocated are on drugs, and they don't know when they suffocate the baby because they're too drunk or they're on drugs. I don't know why a mother would not be able to sleep with her baby.
Well,
that's ridiculous.
Well, Francisco, thank you very much. And to a certain extent, of course, you are completely correct. But there are situations for which in this urban life of ours, situations cannot be made safe. And in those instances, of course, you want the baby sleeping somewhere alongside rather than in bed. But surely none of us would be having this debate today, I can assure you, unless our ancestors and very, very recent ancestors of 100 years were not sleeping alongside us and breastfeeding us. So that's a beginning point for discussion, and until medical authorities, of which I have many friends, believe me, really come to appreciate how powerful that is, we're not going to ever get very far in this debate. It will just continue on, and parents will continue to sleep with their babies because that's what they do.
Yeah, and I'm not sure our next guest is going to say, have that crib in a different room in the dark and ignore your baby while it's sleeping. I think the campaign is to have the baby sleeping in its own crib or bassinet next to your bed. Don't bring the baby and sleep in the bed with you.
That's great, Joy. And I thought Anne's essay was, was very nice. I just disagree that... There's overwhelmingly much more agreement than there's disagreement. The disagreement comes in two ways. One, it always must be respected that it's the parent's right, indeed the parent's civil liberty, to decide where its baby is going to sleep. And the baby has likewise, aside from life itself, civil liberties to have access to its mother's body. And there, I believe, is a kind of a disconnect between authorities and understanding that it's parents that need to make informed choices and not medical authorities. So I think there's an issue in who is it that should be deciding what. And the other issue is that, in a sense, you're right, co-sleeping comes in many different forms. And what happens is the whole word, the whole concept gets misused. Everybody can support co-sleeping when it's defined by separate surface proximity, which the sleep campaign is all about. That's fantastic. It is incorrect to say such things as never sleep with your baby, as did the Consumer Product Safety Commission. And it's wrong, as New York City has come out with a campaign, babies sleep best alone. They don't.
Yeah, and we've talked about it. Thank you very much, James McKenna, for being with us.
You're very welcome.
We will get another side to this story coming up after we check the latest news. We just heard a case for safe co-sleeping practices with a guest who said that it's beneficial for babies to sleep with their breastfeeding moms and that it can be done safely. Now we will hear from a guest from the Milwaukee Public Health Department, which has started a campaign to discourage bed sharing because of several infant deaths attributed to the practice. And we will continue to welcome your questions and your experiences with co-sleeping or bed sharing, 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We also have some Facebook fans commenting on this on my Facebook page, The Joy Cardine Show. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Tuesday, January the 26th. Anna Benton is the Director of Family and Community Health Services for the Milwaukee Health Department and the author of a piece that ran alongside a piece by our guest in the last half hour in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel last week. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks a lot. Tell us why the background to this campaign discouraging bed sharing in Milwaukee.
Yeah, so I want to put it in a bigger context. Our focus is really on reducing infant mortality in general, and especially on reducing the racial and ethnic disparities on infant mortality. So as some of your listeners might know, a black baby is three times more likely to die in Milwaukee than a white baby. We have one of the worst racial disparities of infant mortality in the entire nation. And of course, this is of tremendous concern to us. So there's lots of different pieces to the problem of infant mortality. Prematurity actually is our number one cause of death of an infant under 1 year old. Diseases and problems related to congenital abnormalities are the second leading cause. And then SIDS and suffocation and those sorts of deaths are the third cause. So right now our campaign is targeting those sleep-related deaths, but there are lots of other pieces that I don't want people to forget about. Mm-hmm. They're also extremely important in addressing this issue.
Yeah, and that being said and taken, the campaign regarding the sleeping deaths is because there have been a lot of sleeping deaths in Milwaukee.
Absolutely. There certainly have been. And so we developed this campaign as a sort of hard-hitting campaign to really get people's attention. People might have seen it. It's an image of a bed. It's an adult bed. And it, instead of a headboard, it actually has a tombstone that says, for too many babies last year, this is their final resting place. So we felt that this strength of message was really needed now to bring people's attention to the fact that bed sharing and unsafe sleep was really a factor in so many of the deaths in recent years.
And do we know in those bed sharing deaths if the parent involved was on drugs or drunk?
Yeah, we actually do have statistics on that. We think they're fairly reliable, although they might be slightly underreported. It actually turns out that in all deaths related to SIDS or unsafe sleep or suffocation, less than 20% of them involve any drugs or alcohol.
Yeah, so therefore you're saying that a lot of people think that the only time a baby might be smothered in a bed with a parent is when they're so out of it.
Well, that's correct, and I think that's one of the misperceptions out there that we're really trying to correct right now. There have been several articles and pieces out there where it's obvious people assume that in all of these unsafe sleep-related deaths, drugs or alcohol are a factor, and according to our data, it's simply not true. It's less than 20%, as I said.
Well, our previous guest was, I'm not sure you're all that far apart in your positions, in that he also was saying that having a baby sleeping on a separate surface next to the breastfeeding mom in the same room might be the safest of all. But he was saying that your campaign might discourage any breastfeeding in bed, and that's not right either.
Yeah, well, I think that what Dr. McKenna said, actually, there is a tremendous amount of overlap in our positions. I think everyone is on the same page, including all the experts out there, and a lot of good research papers, in claiming that the safest place for your baby is at arm's length in a separate sleep environment, but right next to the mother's bed. I think there's no disagreement about that. So I guess the only point of disagreement is it ever safe to bring your baby into bed? And the City of Milwaukee Health Department feels very confident in its stance that in saying, no, it's not safe to bring your baby into bed. So we do talk about the most unsafe sleep environments, which, of course, are sofas and chairs, water beds, big fluffy pillows and blankets, other kids in the bed, any impairment by drugs or alcohol, prescription drugs, a very overweight mom. I mean, all of those things are tremendously dangerous, and there's no disagreement with Dr. McKenna on those. He also makes the point that it's only breastfeeding moms who should be bed sharing. So, we agree with those factors. We just think that it's so difficult to make a bed safe for a baby that it should not be done. And I would go a little bit further than Dr. McKenna in saying that there are good research studies that show that it is inherently dangerous for babies, especially under 4 to 6 months old, when they're very little, or especially if they're premature or have been ill. In those cases, it just should never be done. And because of all those complications, our stance is don't do it. Keep your baby next to you, next to the bed, but not in your bed with you. We feel very confident in saying that's the safest place for baby to be.
And then mother, if she's breastfeeding, gets up and goes sits in a chair if baby needs to be fed?
No, I think it's fine. I think experts agree that it's fine for the baby to be brought into bed while breastfeeding, but then to be put back into their own crib, bassinet, or pack and play after breastfeeding is done before anyone falls asleep.
Well, we have callers who have been waiting since the last half hour, so let me go to Jen in Milwaukee. Hi, Jen. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say I absolutely agree with Dr. McKenna. I have slept with my children who are now 5 and 3. I plan on sleeping with my child due in May. I've always made sure that we've had a very safe environment to sleep in, and I don't think I would have been able to breastfeed them exclusively for so long had I not co-slept with them. And I guess my fear is that the health department's campaign is actually going to, if the point is to reduce infant mortality, then do a pro-breastfeeding campaign. We know how great breastfeeding can be for babies, and moms don't have the support they need for that.
Yeah.
And instead, you're telling people not to sleep with their babies, which, if anybody looks at the research Dr. James McKenna has done, is very safe. And I also take issue with Ms. Benson when you say that you're looking at all sleep-related deaths and that less than 20% included the drugs or alcohol. But in there, aren't you linking SIDS, which are crib deaths?
Anna Benton?
Yeah. So actually, if I can go back and tackle your first part of the question first, I just want to say we absolutely support breastfeeding, and we have a number of campaigns supporting breastfeeding. We're actually, we just became a breastfeeding-friendly health department. We're working, with area businesses to try and get them to have lactation rooms in their facilities for breastfeeding moms. We care passionately about breastfeeding. We have a great WIC program that promotes it. So absolutely, we're fully on board with breastfeeding. But we believe that breastfeeding can be done just as easily when the baby's in that separate but proximate sleep environment. So that's the first point. Secondly, I don't think I'm clear on your question about including the SIDS babies. Yes, those babies were included. There are actually very, very few true SIDS deaths every year, probably 1 to 3 deaths that are completely, where there's absolutely no unsafe sleep factors. There's no reason. There's no cause of the death. So, yeah, those are factors into those 20%.
I think that her point is that if SIDS deaths are included in the overall numbers, that a baby that died in its crib of SIDS, it has nothing to do with co-sleeping.
Okay, so we have numbers on that, too. Less than 20% of the babies who died of any sort of unsafe sleep or SIDS were in their own cribs. So that's in the last 7 years. We had all of those deaths, those 183 deaths. And something around 69% of the babies were actually sleeping with an adult. And those include all of the babies that died of SIDS, and those are very few, or unsafe sleep-related deaths.
Okay. May I ask what percentage, then, of the babies who were sleeping with an adult or in an unsafe sleep environment, unsafe with someone who had been drinking or with drugs or alcohol or on a sofa or a chair, all those environments that Dr. McKenna or anybody who promotes safe co-sleeping would be against? Mm-hmm. What percentage of those included drugs or alcohol?
So that's the same 183 deaths that we've been looking at over the past 7 years, and of those, again, it's only 20% or less which involved drugs or alcohol. But I will tell you that a high number of those did involve other elements of unsafe sleep. So there were pillows in the bed, there were blankets, baby fell off and got wedged between the bed and the wall or the bed and the footboard, there were other kids in bed, baby was overheated. So there are lots and lots of other elements of unsafe sleep. And, that also includes any exposure to tobacco smoke. That is a tremendous risk factor, as well as lying face down. So the most important message in all of this sleep is to have baby on her back.
We are talking with, thank you very much, Jen. We are talking with Anna Benton, Director of Family and Community Health Services for the Milwaukee Health Department, which has initiated a campaign to discourage parents from sleeping with their infants in the same bed, saying it is too dangerous. And we welcome your questions for her and your own experiences at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll continue with your calls after we check our weather forecast. A winter storm warning has been posted for Iron County until noon today. Otherwise, it's going to be a mostly cloudy morning with scattered snow, mostly in northern Wisconsin, then clearing this afternoon. We can expect high temperatures today to be in the teens in northern Wisconsin to the lower 20s in the southern part of the state. Currently in Superior, scattered clouds and 6 above. In Eau Claire, cloudy and 14. It's cloudy elsewhere around the state. La Crosse, 17 degrees. Green Bay, 25. In Milwaukee, it's 24. And Madison, 23. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 11 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 26th. Coming up after 7, I'll welcome in a guest, a Madison attorney, who says the Supreme Court got it right when it took away the limits on corporate spending on political campaign ads. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. We're talking with a guest about co-sleeping. Anna Benton is Director of Family and Community Health Services for the Milwaukee Health Department, talking about why the Milwaukee Health Department has initiated a campaign to discourage bed sharing or co-sleeping between adults and babies. This in response to many deaths of bed-sharing babies over the last decade. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. In our first half hour, we heard from James McKenna, director of the Mother-Baby Behavioral Sleep Laboratory at the University of Notre Dame, who said co-sleeping can be done safely and can be beneficial for mothers and babies. Elizabeth in Glendale is our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just listening to both sides of the discussion, and I really think that we really want to be able to sleep safely with our babies and have it be 100% safe. And I always think sometimes we come down hard on public authorities that are trying to help us see that it can't always be that way, and that they need to say it's not safe to do something like this 100% of the time. I'm thinking of when I was nursing our son, and he slept in his own room, but I would take him into the bed and in that room, and I would nurse him, and then of course sometimes I fell asleep, and I think, but for the grace of God, I did not roll over him. And obviously, when you start adding the probabilities of time in there, and the more time that I would have spent if I had slept with him all the time, you know, that it would automatically just inherently make it a dangerous situation. And I of course, I'm sort of straddling the middle of the road here, but I really think that, you know, there's reason on both sides for what we're trying to accomplish here is we're, you know, our public health officials are trying to say, look, this can be dangerous. If you interview a woman who's rolled over her child or, you know, pushed them to the end of the bed and they died, they're going to tell you, don't do it. You know, and I guess that's just...
Well, I'm glad you called. And Anna Benton, that's I guess that's the message you're trying to get out.
Yeah, Elizabeth, thank you for that comment. We appreciate it. We've seen so many tragic cases of deaths involving bed sharing and sleeping with adults, especially over the past year, and even just in the first couple of weeks of this year, that to us it's almost a no-brainer. It's been one tragedy after another. These deaths are just unimaginably heartbreaking, and we're not trying to place blame on these parents. We're not trying to place any labels on them. We're sure these parents love their babies just as much as anybody else did. It is a terrible tragedy, and our main point is it really can happen to anyone. It is incredibly difficult to try and eliminate all of those risk factors.
Our previous guest says by just saying no, though, you're missing the opportunity to tell, especially breastfeeding mothers, some safety tips. Whereas, as our guest just said, it's inevitable that some breastfeeding mothers will bring the baby into bed and may accidentally fall asleep. And you could have at least the best environment, sleeping environment possible.
And I guess I disagree that we're withholding any information. I think that our message includes all of the facts. If you look back at press releases and the information that we've given out publicly, we do talk about the most dangerous situations for babies, including the fluffy pillows and blankets, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't feel like we're withholding any information from people. And I also really take issue with being accused of trying to stifle civil liberties or anything like that. We're trying to give parents the facts. I think that if parents understood the facts and the data, specifically about Milwaukee, because that's what we're talking about. We're the City of Milwaukee Health Department. We are dealing with this population. If people understand the local facts and data, then I think they're going to make their own best decisions.
Did I read that four babies have died since the beginning of this year in this type of situation?
That's correct.
Suzanne in Whitewater. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that my family has chosen to co-sleep, and we have set up an environment that we feel is very safe for it. And the reason we did that is because our baby had to be in the NICU when she was first born, and so we missed a lot of that contact at first. And she sleeps much, much better in between us rather than next to us in a bassinet. So we purchased a special little bed for her that fits in between us on top of our mattress. It has walls so that she can't get out and we can't roll on top of her. But it's very well ventilated, and it attaches to the mattress so it stays put. There's no danger of her going off the end or getting trapped in between the wall and the bed or such.
Is that called the co-sleeping bed, Suzanne?
It's called a close and secure sleeper,
mm-hmm.
and it's manufactured specifically to be placed in between two adults in a larger size bed.
Is that, Anna Benton, something safer anyway?
That's not something we have a position on. Our position is absolutely no bed sharing whatsoever, even with this device that was described. But we're not here to take issue with individual decisions and choices or to tell anybody what to do. So we're just here to try to make, excuse me, a public safety, public health message that's applicable for the general population.
Mm-hmm. Kay in Muscadet. Hi, Kay. You're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Yes, I just wanted to contribute my thinking on this issue. I just believe that with a statement by the woman from the Human Services that really this isn't the most the thing that's killing babies is actually due to another bigger problem, which is I think probably poverty. I think probably the majority of the infant deaths that we see are due to another problem, which is that these people don't have, you know, people who are in the city have less access to medical care and financially are not able to do the things they need to keep their child, you know, in the best medical health. The other thing I have, I just take issue with is, you know, when you talk about women shouldn't have their babies in their bed with them, I think that it is natural for worldwide and historically for women to feel that they should bring their babies close to them. And it kind of, this campaign makes women feel bad about what they naturally feel, which is, and it does kind of place the blame on the women, you know. I mean, this is generally a woman's choice. So I'm concerned that this campaign will make women feel worse about themselves and make them feel that their natural instincts are wrong.
All right, let me get a response. Anna Benton?
Yeah, well, I really do agree with your first point. I think that I always talk about infant mortality as a sentinel indicator of larger problems, and I think that's absolutely right, and poverty certainly ties into it. We, you know, part of the problem with the prematurity, which is the number one cause of infant mortality, it really looks like it is caused in some part by stress. And possibly in part by stress related to racism, because we see such a high rate in our African-American population. So absolutely, I agree fully with you there. About the blame issue, you know, I really hope that that is not how it's interpreted, what we're trying to do. Our message is not to blame anybody for any decisions that they're making. It's simply to try to empower them with the facts so that they can make a good decision about where their baby sleeps.
Time, I think, for one quick last call. Phyllis in Janesville.
Yes, good morning. You've really targeted in on the idea that these deaths are happening because the child's in bed with the parents, and I can understand that. That's what seems to be the most obvious thing. But you've already walked around carefully the fact that there might be other issues. I would like to know if there has been any studies done across showing where deaths might be more prevalent. Are they more prevalent in a certain part of Wisconsin? Are they more prevalent in certain parts of the country? Are there any cross-regional studies? And what other factors are involved?
We may not have time for all of that, but is this a big problem outside of the city of Milwaukee? Anna Benton, do you know?
Yeah, it is. It's a problem for the southeastern region of Wisconsin in general, but we do have one of the highest rates and highest racial disparity rates in the nation. So there have been lots of studies about all the different factors that go into the deaths. There are some studies that show that it's really not those additional risk factors that make it dangerous, that in and of itself, bed sharing can be dangerous. There's a study that came out of Scotland that's showing that under 4 to 6 months, it really is just dangerous, even in a so-called safe sleep environment. So lots and lots of research has been done on this.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Anna Benton, Director of Family and Community Health Services for the Milwaukee Health Department. In our first half hour, we heard from the director of the Mother Baby Behavioral Sleep Laboratory at the University of Notre Dame, James McKenna. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster and Bill Martins for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.